This is Matt Walsh.
Matt Besser.
And this is Todd Bieber.
You're listening to WGN Chicago.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Michael with WGN Radio. I'm here with Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, and director Todd Bieber to discuss Thank You, Dell, the story of the Dell Close Marathon. How's it going, guys? How are you enjoying Austin today?
Fantastic. We're having a wonderful festival, and we had our world premiere for our documentary, Thank You, Dell, last night, and it's all the buzz of the festival.
Yeah.
I saw Little John last night sing to the windows, to the walls, mm-hmm. Get low. Mm-hmm.
That's a true dream, I'm sure.
Yes.
So it's a really cool chance to be here and premiering this film. As I mentioned before the interview, this is a very big movie for people from Chicago, where, you know, Dell had a lot of his roots in. And I wanted to know, you know, the UCB started in Chicago. Ties to the Annoyance Theater, ties to Second City. What is it about Chicago that gives us these kind of roots in comedy?
Well, improv started in St. Louis, mm-hmm. San Francisco, but it really started in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, it can trace back to the University of Chicago. It started as a theater for the people. Mm-hmm. The original guys were like, we're doing Ibsen and stuff that people right now aren't relating to as much. Let's do something that's talking about John F. Kennedy. And I think literally that might have been one of the first suggestions ever shouted out was JFK. But it started in Chicago. Like every time people say, Chicago, the Cubs, deep dish pizza, I'd be much more proud of improv. It's really its own art form. And someone said to me the other day on my podcast, they're like, I feel so jealous of you. You were there on the ground floor of this art form. And really, we weren't on the ground floor. The ground floor is in the 50s and the 60s. But we were there at a period where, because of Dell, it got taken to another level. Without mm-hmm. question, in the late 80s, early 90s. Because of him and the Improv Olympic, this art form really became an accepted art form. And you could feel it in Chicago. You could feel it happening. There were even a period of a couple of years where there was just a bunch of great groups around town. You were like, something is happening here.
Yeah.
And we're all not necessarily doing the same thing, but it's all coming from the same place. And it's really good. And that's a theater town, too. Chicago has a lot of great theater. Mm-hmm. And it was starting to get recognized by critics and respected. And it started out as a civil war between this guy, Bernie Sollins, who ran the Second City, and Dell Close, of mm-hmm. Bernie saying it can't be its own thing, and Dell saying, yes, it can. And Dell spent the rest of his life proving that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't really think of Chicago without the amount of theaters that we have now, because I've never seen it. But just imagine coming up with Dell when there was maybe just a few random theaters, the Chicago Theater, or, I don't know, like the Vic, which was playing old-timey music. You guys started your own theater in the city. What was that process like when you're starting the UCB?
We didn't start UCB, the physical theater, until we got to New York. We never had a theater space in Chicago.
But was that the transition? Did you see the vision for getting your own theater when you were studying under Dell?
We weren't thinking in those terms at all. We were thinking, we want to be the next kids in the hall.
Yeah.
That's specifically what we were thinking.
Yeah.
We want to have, and not even we want to be on SNL, we want to start our own sketch group. Mm-hmm. And we did so many theaters, probably a few that are still around, like the Red Orchid,
I believe
is still around. We were there at the ground floor of that one. And the Eclipse, I would assume, is still around. Maybe not.
It might not be.
Mary Archie Theater, mm-hmm. I think, might even be closing down or maybe starting their festival.
Yeah.
But we literally closed a few cafes. Our show was running when the cafe would close or the theater would close, so you wouldn't even recognize those names. Cabaret Voltaire, I would assume, is still around on some level, maybe.
What neighborhood was that?
Clark and Belmont.
Oh, really?
Cafe Voltaire, yeah.
I think it might still be there.
Moved. Yeah. But anyway, we were a part UCB was a part of the legitimate theater scene. That's where we put up our first shows. But it was never about, let's start our own theater. It was about, let's just get our sketch show. And when we moved to New York, we had this thing from Chicago. This is before the internet, or before you could really browse around. And it really was something like, what is this? And it was Chicago. It was Chicago-style improv. They were doing improv in New York, but not like this. It was much more advanced.
And you guys had video segments that you would incorporate into your improv shows, too, which was kind of like a groundbreaking thing.
It kind of was. I had this real clunky, fucking like this big, like a Jambox-size VHS tape player that you had to edit using two VHS players, and we would play videos. It was such a pain in the ass to play a video. We'd have to carry. Remember how TVs used to be, how heavy? So to get a big TV, carry it to the stage. We would edit videos within this time of the show. Mm-hmm. Like Adam McKay would go out on a road trip with an audience member and tape that, and then we would edit it during the show and then show that at the end of the show. So,
wow.
Pretty ambitious, crazy stuff. And now you don't see a sketch show that doesn't have a film sketch in it live on stage.
They are doing that a lot in Chicago, especially at the Second City and the
really live. Second City.
Yeah, they use these video components a lot throughout. Really?
I wonder when that started. Hmm? After our time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, I mean, obviously you didn't edit your film the same way as they might have done in the back. What was it about this influence? Obviously, Del had a really significant part of your life. I mean, he's being a teacher and teaching you these life lessons which come from improv. What was it about him that really drove that motivation to create this film?
Well, I mean, he is a legend within the improv community and comedy community, and he's touched so many people, and there's not a story that tells that story. And I think that me as a comedy fan first, was very excited to get in there, talk to these guys, and then look at the Del Close Marathon, see where the comedy that I love actually came from. And to know that everything I love, you think as like a teenager that it all comes from Saturday Night Live, but you know, it comes from way before that, and it comes from so many different places. And the story hadn't fully been told outside of books. There's a few books, but it was exciting to look through the archival footage. I got to go to WTTW, like the public access or public television station in Chicago.
The window to the world.
Well, I went to a windowless window room in there, and they just delivered like about 35 beta tapes to me, and I went through it felt like I was going through the history of Chicago comedy.
Wow.
And I was putting in these tapes from different eras, from like the 80s, the 90s, and like watching snippets, some cases, little interviews, and it was just fascinating for someone who loves comedy to see, like, this is somebody like it's Chris Farley on stage at Second City, and no one knew who he was. Just being interviewed like he was any other cast member who I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
And then to pop in tapes and all of a sudden see Del talking was phenomenal and just so cool to be like, I don't think anybody's watched this in like probably 20 years.
That's incredible. WTTW has all that archival footage. I didn't even know that existed still today.
Yeah.
So working with Del, I mean, you guys obviously had the great opportunity to study with him. And being on stage with people like Chris Farley, like Tina Fey, you see a show now and it's kind of like a no-name people on stage, but obviously one day they could be really big. What was it about Del's teaching that separated him from all the other improv teachers, all the other teachers in general?
I think a lot of it, because I was doing three schools at a time at the same time when I was there, and so I really got to see a spectrum of teaching styles, and also I got to hear a problem with teaching improv, which people using the same words and meaning different things.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I felt confused as a student. Like, I feel like I took classes for 2 years before I finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I got to him where I was like, oh, this is the guy who knows what he's talking about. And he wasn't coddling at all. He'd said exactly what was on your mind. And so many improv teachers are about like, okay, good job, everybody. Let's try that again. And
it's level A stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt like it's not, we didn't just do a good job. And I don't want to be told that. And what did I do wrong? And he gave you that in spades.
Great. So that was like one of the lessons that he gave you. He just told you how it was.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. he didn't pull punches.
So when you guys started the UCB, what was some of the first lessons that you taught your students?
I think I went probably, hopefully for better and a lot of times for worse. I really embraced that.
Yes. Super critical.
Yeah, and I think I scared a lot of students, probably still do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it because that's what I loved about him. And I didn't have his genius, but I was not gonna be coddling. So
yeah.
In addition to teaching the stuff he taught us, I was like, I'm going to take his attitude, too.
Yeah.
And
you're like, all right, that's enough dick jokes for today. Let's move it on. Let's wrap it up. Yeah.
I never reached the point which he would be of just going, that was awful, unless I felt like people were on purpose jacking around.
Mm-hmm.
But he would, to a beginner doing their first scene, told them they were awful. So that would kill a lot of people. But
yeah.
You wouldn't want Dell as a first level teacher, basically.
How about you? What did you use to teach to your students?
He just tried to keep it innovative and relevant to each sort of generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of giving people the basics and then challenging them to make it their own, like with a new form or make it relevant to what's happening in the world today.
I like that. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so we got to go straight to Chicago. I mean,
go ahead.
You had jobs in Northwestern.
Yes, sir.
You grew up, you lived in Chicago as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what were some of your favorite memories or favorite hotspots as far as like venues you'd perform at?
Well, venues, we did the Roxy. I just was thinking of that venue. That was an old West Fullerton venue. I love that venue.
Mm-hmm.
Improv Olympic had multiple spaces. I did annoying shows when it was on Broadway and Belmont. I love that stage, but it was a drag queen club, and then it was the Annoyance, and then
the Annoyance was when it was on Broadway.
That's when the Brady Bunch started. So that's, we're getting nostalgic. Sorry, Todd.
That's right.
And then they moved to Clark and just north of Wrigley, which was an awesome space. And then so those are a couple of stages. And Improv Olympic was with it.
Addison and Clark. We were in Chicago. Well, he was born there, but when I was there and when this whole scene was happening was also when Wicker Park was kind of happening.
Yeah, before it started blowing up.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was kind of an exciting time to be around Bucktown and Wicker Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Ukraine Village, which was even a little, I don't know what it's like now, but it was pretty seedy at that point.
Yeah.
And that was a whole music scene in addition to being a... While the comedy scene was happening too, so that was really exciting to be around Chicago. And also, I personally moved to Chicago the first year the Bulls won their first championship, and we left on the sixth championship.
Isn't that crazy?
So I had a great run of the Bulls.
How about bars? Because we all know that you go to improv class, your improv class gets together in the bond.
I spent too much time at a place called the Lakeview on Broadway and Belmont, and then the Gingerman across from the New Annoyance.
It's still there, yeah.
Spent too much time there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, is the Wrigley... What was the name of the place we were in, though? The Wrigley... That's probably
Sharna's
not there
place.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Cubby Bear, of course, across the street. Love-hate relationship with a lot of those bars,
mm-hmm.
depending upon if the Cubs were playing that day. Because drunken Cubs fans can take it to a whole other level.
They are still there. Well, guys, come back to Chicago very soon.
Yes, thank you for the invite.
Of course, you're always...
He's from there. You don't have to get invited.
My mom still lives there.
We are speaking with Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, and director Todd Bieber of Thank You, Dell, the story of the Dell Close Marathon. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And I didn't come down. There's no easy way to fall when you're already headed for the ground. I got stoned sitting on the fence.